Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films, West Side Story, Tick, Tick, Boom, and Nightmare Alley. I think you should sing. Hi, David. How are you?
I have thought for many a long year that I should sing, Jill, but alas, I am just too modest to inflict my singing skills upon the world, such as they are. Anyway, today I would like to talk about musicals and remakes. And our first movie today, West Side Story, comes under both categories. This is the new movie by Steven Spielberg, one of the most, arguably, I suppose, the most successful and influential filmmaker of all time, who has made any number of enormous, astonishing hits and some flops along the way, too. And for some reason, which I have not been able to figure out, he has decided that the world needs a remake of West Side Story. Now, West Side Story was originally a Broadway show written by the great Steve, well, with lyrics by the great Stephen Sondheim, music by the even greater Leonard Bernstein, and a book, a script by the very fine Arthur Lawrence, wonderful titles. And then it was made into a movie back in 1957. And I mean, I have a history with this. I've seen West Side Story on the stage. I've certainly seen the 1957 movie, and I looked at it again recently, and, you know, it holds up nicely, I think. You know, it's a good movie. But for some reason, Steven Spielberg decided, okay, the world needs a remake of this. And of course, it is proven to be somewhat controversial, because the story is about basically ethnic strife between an Anglo gang and a Puerto Rican gang on the west side of New York City way back in about the 1950s. Even the new remake of the movie takes place back in the 50s. So, you know, as soon nowadays as you get into the idea of ethnic strife and gangs of different ethnicities squaring off against one another, you're going to get controversy. And yes, there are people who are upset about the new West Side Story because it's not sensitive enough and all of that. And I suppose some people do have a point. That said, Spielberg and his marvelously talented collaborators on this movie have really tried to not update the time of the movie or of the story, but to update the sort of general sort of attitudes toward race and ethnicity and so forth to this. And, you know, they've made some little tweaks, some little changes here and there. There's a new song near the very beginning, which is all in Spanish without subtitles. And so it shows respect to the people who speak Spanish and all of that. And it's a perfectly good movie, the new West Side Story. And I personally see no reason for controversy about it in terms of sensitivity grounds. Although then again, you know, I'm not someone who has particular skin in that game. I am not, for example, Latinx, as they say nowadays, although I understand that Latin people don't actually like the word Latinx. So that's an example of the kind of controversy that we're in. In any case, Spielberg has worked here with, there's a new screenplay, very, very close to the old screenplay, by the great playwright Tony Kushner. The music is still mostly the fabulous Leonard Bernstein music with the fabulous Stephen Sondheim lyrics there. So astonishingly clever. They are just wonderful. The music was actually conducted for the new film by the very, very estimable conductor, Gustavo Dudamel. So there's just terrific talents involved here. The thing is, I still can't see a need for this new West Side Story. It's a nice movie. It's a very well done movie. It's a long and splashy movie. But, you know, some years ago, the very fine director, Gus Van Sant, did a remake of Alfred Hitchcock's horror classic Psycho. And there's no need for it. We still have the original Psycho. So we still have the original West Side Story. You know, you can very, very easily stream it on your TV set, and there really was no need for the new one. That said, it's got a very nice cast. Ansel Elgort, who plays Tony, and Rachel Zegler, who plays Maria. They're good. They're not great, but they're good. It's quite wonderful to see Rita Moreno, who played the very young Anita in the 1957 movie, is now playing a new character, a kind of actually a female version of what used to be a male character in the new movie. And it's wonderful to see Rita Moreno, a fabulously talented actor. But again, I just couldn't see any particular need for this new West Side Story. And sure enough, it has not been doing well at the box office. So I'm perfectly glad to have it. I hope people see it. It has some fabulous music in it, which I've been listening to for decades now. And you can also go back and see the original 1957 movie, which is still around, which is still very, very good. The new West Side Story is perfectly good, but I think it's not a movie that we really needed. Now, for a movie that we really needed, I would like to talk about Tick, Tick, Boom. And the way the title is spelled and punctuated with a little tick and then a little tick and then boom in all caps with an exclamation point. So that's how we should really say that title, Tick, Tick, Boom. And it is, I think, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful musical. And I really, really liked it. And interestingly, this is the first movie directed by Lin-Manuel Miranda. Lin-Manuel Miranda has done a lot of things in his career, but he is most famous for having written the musical Hamilton, which I have seen on both stage and in the televised version, and which is very good. I'm not a huge fan of it. I don't think it's magnificent, but I think it's perfectly good. And he more recently had a movie called In the Heights, which again, he had written, which I think is perfectly good. So the point is that up until now, my experience of Lin-Manuel Miranda's work has been, yeah, it's good. It doesn't thrill me. Even the hugely popular and just universally cheered Hamilton struck me as, yeah, it's perfectly good. But now, Tick, Tick, Boom, I think is absolutely wonderful. It's just a delicious, delightful movie, and I hope everybody goes to see it. And it is very much a musical, which is very, very fresh in all of its attitudes. So, the main character of Tick, Tick, Boom is Jonathan Larson, a real-life person played in the movie by Andrew Garfield. And the whole movie is about the real-life Jonathan Larson striving to create his first Broadway show. He is a young man. He has very little way of resources. His electricity is always about to be cut off. He lives in a sort of a crummy little hovel down in Soho in New York City. And it's a sad time for him because many of his friends have AIDS or are dying of AIDS. The movie takes place in that time frame. But he is determined. He believes that he is the future of American musical theater and he is going to succeed. And he is working and he is working and he is working on this show, which he really wants to create. And he's getting ready for a big presentation when he's going to get to present it. And a number of people from the New York theater world, he hopes, are going to come to his presentation and see it, and he will be discovered. Interestingly, one of the people who does come is Stephen Sondheim, whose new West Side Story, of course, has now just come out again in a remake, and he unfortunately recently died. But it's fun to see him as a character in Tick, Tick, Boom. Now, the real-life Jonathan Larson actually made a show, a one-person show, which he performed in the theater, about his efforts to create that very first musical of his called Suburbia. And this movie uses that show as its framework. Throughout, we keep coming back to Jonathan Larson, played now by Andrew Garfield, performing his little one-person show, singing, dancing, playing the piano, doing all these wonderful things. Well, mainly singing and playing the piano, his own songs. And then the movie broadens out, and then we see whole scenes acted out by a wonderful cast, singing, dancing, big musical production number stuff. Then they come back to that little show, that one-person show, and then back to the big production numbers and the big deal. And it all builds up to that great big presentation. And now here's a little bit of a spoiler, but this is not really a plot movie, so I don't feel guilty about saying this. The big presentation does not go well. And he has not been discovered, and he is unclear as to whether he will ever amount to anything in the theater, whether he'll even ever be able to quit his job that he has as a waiter in order to finally maybe concentrate full-time on his art. It does not go well. Of course, what eventually happens, and this is just basically the very final seconds of the movie, we know, if we know anything about Jonathan Larson, that he did go on to create a real musical, Rent, which became one of the biggest hits in Broadway history. And we know that, so it's wonderful. So all the time we're seeing this young man try and try and then fail with his big presentation, but we know that he will very, very, very soon be a hugely, hugely, hugely important force in American theater. But we then see, if we didn't know this already, at the very, very end of Tick, Tick, Boom, that the real-life Jonathan Larson created Rent, which went on to become the biggest show, one of the biggest shows in all of Broadway history, and he died. He died the night before opening night of Rent, horrible thing, died nothing related to AIDS, which is a big theme in the movie. He died of an aortic aneurysm, and it's very, very tragic. But my gosh, he created some wonderful work. And I think Tick, Tick, Boom, which is the story of Jonathan Larson trying to create his first show, I think it's better than Rent myself. So I really, really recommend it. It's a lovely, sprightly, delightful show with a terrific supporting cast. And Andrew Garfield, who I've never been a big admirer of, he's perfectly fine, he knows what he's doing, is just superb playing Jonathan Larson. He sings, he plays, he does all the things he needs to do, and he does them beautifully. So I recommend West Side Story, but I really recommend with tremendous enthusiasm Tick, Tick, Boom. I think it's one of the nicest movies we've seen all year, and the year is just about over. So I'm very glad that we've gotten it just before the year ended. And now, having dealt with two musicals, with songs and with dances and with all of that, let us have a change of pace. Nightmare Alley. And as that title may suggest, Nightmare Alley is, in fact, a horror movie. And in my opinion, it is a darn good one. It is a remake of a movie from many years ago, a very, very good movie from many years ago, also called Nightmare Alley, directed by the very fine Hollywood director, Edmund Goulding. And again, that was a long, long time ago. And once again, we have a very fine filmmaker who has decided that the world needs a remake of this. In this case, the very fine filmmaker is Guillermo del Toro, who in fact specializes in stories of horror and the supernatural and the uncanny. And Nightmare Alley is not exactly a supernatural story, but it's a very, very, very dark story, as that title certainly does suggest. So the original film Nightmare Alley and the much more explicit new film Nightmare Alley is about a man who is sort of knocking about the carnival world. He's somebody who has never made a success of life. His name is Stanton Carlisle, and he has never really gotten anywhere in his life, and he just sort of somehow, almost by accident, gets hooked up with a traveling carnival. Of course, this is many years ago when carnivals were a big part of the American scene. And one thing that fascinates him at the very beginning of his little association, just as a common laborer with this carnival, is the man who is the geek. Now, this is going to be a little unpleasant, but geeks are people who used to be carnival attractions back in the heyday of carnivals. And what they did was they did horrible things that audiences would pay money to gawk at, particularly biting the heads off chickens. That is what the geek does. And Stanton, our main character of the movie, sees the geek and wonders, how does somebody sink so low in life that that's how they have to earn their living, doing something like horrible like that? And he finds out, well, they tend to be alcoholics who really can't do anything else, and that their wits end and they hardly even know what they're doing. They just need to survive from moment to moment, from day to day. Well, of course, if you're a fan of horror movies, you know that Stanton himself is probably going to end up as a geek by the end, but I won't give that away. In any case, he gets involved with the carnival. He goes to work for the carnival. He becomes very, very friendly with a woman who does a sort of a supernatural act. Her name is Xena, played by Toni Collette. And then he also becomes very involved with another young woman who does another act in the carnival, played by Rooney Mara. And, you know, hangs around with the carnival and becomes an important member of the carnival troupe. Then he meets another person, a psychologist, a professional psychologist, played by Kate Blanchett. And she turns out to have all kinds of clients, and she knows all their secrets because she does sort of psychotherapy sessions with them, and she is very, very crooked. And so she and Stanton cook up an act where they are going to bilk people out of money by knowing things about the people that they couldn't possibly know, and do a kind of a supernatural act. They call it Stanton calls it a spook show. It's a kind of act that you do where you bilk people out of money by pretending that you have actual supernatural powers. Well, by this time, the two of them are actually active criminals, and their crime gets more and more extravagant, and they're bilking people, they're cheating people, they're scamming people, gets more and more outrageous, and the movie goes on from there. Most striking thing, well, very, very well acted, the new Nightmare Alley, Bradley Cooper, who is a good actor and does a wonderful job. And again, it's wonderful to see Toni Collette, Kate Blanchett. I haven't even mentioned Willem Dafoe, Richard Jenkins, Ron Perlman, all doing terrific work in this movie, which very much has that carnival ambiance. It's very seedy and sort of exciting at the same time. But the movie, its main asset is it looks absolutely spectacular. All kinds of steady cam work with the camera sliding gliding, flying, crawling through all kinds of exotic settings with superb colors that just jump out of the screen at you. It's a fabulous looking movie. And yeah, it's a pretty scary movie. It's a pretty dark movie. If you know the original Nightmare Alley, or if you've read the very, very fine novel by William Lindsay Gresham, really good novel, which I've also read. If you know those things, the novel and the original film, you know, the story will be familiar to you. If you're not familiar with those things, the story will be new to you, and I think it will take you by surprise. Again, Nightmare Alley is as dark as its title, but I found it one of the best horror movies I've seen in a very, very long time. And above all, it's a wonderfully acted and beautifully produced horror movie. It looks terrific, and it will really enfold you into its extremely dark and frightening visions. So that is my story about remakes and musicals this week, Jill.
For which we thank you, ever and always, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films West Side Story, Tick, Tick, Boom, and Nightmare Alley.